Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the book of Revelation as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Revelation chapter number 1. I thought about this week. If I was going to write a book, and one day I'm going to write a book, when they got nothing else to do. You know, when people retire, that seems when they start writing, unless you're like Danny. Danny is a writer. I don't know how he does it, all he does. But anyway, I want to entitle my book, Reveling in Revelation. Reveling in Revelation. Now, I looked up the word reveling, and it could have a bad connotation. Reveling could mean drunkenness and all that kind of stuff, reveling. But it also has a good connotation. It means getting great pleasure in. And so that's the sideline I want to think of, not the bad side, but the good side of reveling. In Revelation, take great pleasure in it. And I do. And John, the apostle, he didn't send this letter. We're going to get into the seven churches today, and next few weeks we'll look at each of them separately. But he didn't do that to satisfy their curiosity about the future. That's not why he sent them that letter, you know, about satisfying their curiosity. What's going to happen in the future? No, he sent it as a message of strength and hope, because they were under severe persecution, and it was, of course, it was from God, but it was sent to them for a sense of encouragement in them that we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting in victory. And we read the end of the book, and victory's already ours. So when we read here in the book of Revelation, we like to think of it, or many people get it interested when we think of it, the blood, guts, and hunks of hair, you know, just flying, you know, during the tribulation period. That's not what it's all about. Matter of fact, it's really all about Jesus. And people just focus on Revelation 6 through, you know, 19 and all that, you know, all the stuff going on there. But it's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And we looked at the first three verses last week, and I'll read verses 4 through 8 this week. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 4, first of all, that John wrote to the seven churches which are in Asia. Notice that John does not address his message from the Lord to the church, or he didn't even address it to the church of Asia. The Lord's message was to be to local, visible churches, okay? They called out assemblies. A lot of folk, and I know this is going out on the internet, and I don't want to be controversial or fuss with anybody, but there is no such thing as a universal, invisible, mystical body of Christ. The only thing invisible about a church are church members who don't show up on Sunday. Okay. The point is that I'm not getting on ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, that's another sideline, but the word church is used approximately 114 times in the New Testament, and it's always, always to a local assembly, to the church. We're going to look at seven of them, the church at Philadelphia, at Laodicea, at those geographical locations that Never, never, never is it taught in Bible, in God's Word, about some universal mystical body of Christ. It's called the universal church. You hear it all the time, the universal church. And again, that's a whole other subject. But I just want you to note that to the seven churches. Now, some people say there's both local or visible and an invisible church, because you can't deny a local church. It's all through Scripture. But they all say, well, there's also that universal invisible church. Let me give you a little background. I'm going to move on real quick. Do you know what the word Catholic means? It means universal. The word Catholic means universal. And when they started, by the way, Catholics were not the first. You understand that. They started at about 250 AD, but before that, the Catholics were Baptists. Okay, we're not Protestants. It's a whole other story. But during the Protestant Reformation, because the Catholics had already got that, well, we're the universal visible body of Christ, the Catholic Church. Well, out of Protestantism came, well, the Catholics are universal visible, so we're universal invisible. And that's where all this started from, and people just latched on to it. Again, these churches were local visible assemblies, and we will look at them in the next few weeks. These seven churches were located in the western part of modern-day Turkey. I've had the privilege of going there a few years back, and those churches aren't there, but I've went to Thyatira and these other places. And all. It's amazing. You go to these places, and you can see ruins, these old cities and these other things. And in Thyatira, there's Lydia's shop, the seller of purple. Remember Lydia, the seller of purple? Well, Lydia still has a shop there after two millennia, you know. Of course, we laughed about it, you know. But when you think of their location, it's in modern-day Turkey on the western side of it. Also, before we move on, it's worthy to notice and to mention the special significance of the number seven in the Bible. We see the seven churches. I didn't count. I looked on the thing, my Bible help. How many times the word seven is used in the Bible is, Book of Genesis, you know, 7 days, you know. Anyway, Doug, are you back there looking? I saw his head go down. It's hundreds, a few hundred times. But it's used, I did count personally, in the book of Revelation, it's used 54 times. I can't count much higher than that. That's why 391 in the Bible is 54 times. Now, don't y'all do what Doug just did, okay? All right. I just knew what he was doing. 391 times, 54 of them are in the book of Revelation alone. Matter of fact, the number seven is used more times in the book of Revelation than all of the books of the New Testament combined, you know, as far as using that number seven. It plays a huge part in the writing of the book of Revelation. Seven churches, seven spirits, seven golden candlesticks, seven stars, seven lamps, seven seals, seven trumpets, seven golden vials. 54 times that number seven is used. Very significant, and it means completion. Not so much perfection. People like you use it as perfection. You know, I'm not gonna fuss with anybody, but it really means completion or finished, that finished work. Reading some commentaries, people are superstitious about that. You know, lucky number seven, you know, all these other things. But seven does play a huge role in Scripture. And I'm not one of those numerologists or whatever they're called, you know, meteorologists, numerologists, whatever they are, you know, who study like number one is for something, number two is for something, three is, I think, for God, Trinity. Even have four, five. I don't get into that. I'm sure there's some truth in a little bit of all that, but I have a hard enough time doing this, much less, you know, all the other studies of numbers and all. I do know though, seven obviously is very important in the study of the book of Revelation. It just starts the seven churches, and we're going to get to the seven spirits in just a moment.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word, and visit us online at westwoodmbc to hear more teaching like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.